Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, HSP number 15. That's highly sensitive person or people, share number 15. Today we're going to talk about how HSPs tend to slide into shyness in their social relationships. They're told very often, you're too shy. And we're going to discuss that aspect of it. It happens a lot in non-intimate social relationships. And we'll talk about the ones that are closer relationships at a different point. And many, though, are gifted socially. So there's no point in fixing something that's not broken. But very often, the shyness in HSPs is quite acute and very, very difficult to deal with. But it's not something to worry about, because the worry itself makes you more aroused and more, it compounds the problem. We're often told, don't worry, no one's judging you. But because you're sensitive, you notice that people are indeed watching you often and judging you often. They usually do. So the non-sensitive don't realize that. So when you, as a highly sensitive person, feels that someone is judging you, very often they actually are. Sometimes we're told, don't assume that, and we shouldn't really assume that, or don't care about it, which is healthier. But you sometimes are aware in people's glances, how they glance at you, look at you, that there is this silent judgment. Now, we have to be careful, because we could take this to an extreme and become paranoid about it. But we do sense it more than others. When people are looking at us and judging us, they're actually doing it, we're actually accurate many times. But we have to learn not to let it affect us. People confuse sensitivity with shyness. You heard you're too shy, Or people say, let's say a certain dog or cat or horse is born shy, when really they're not shy. They just have a sensitive nervous system. If an animal was abused, then it's not just the sensitive nervous system. They're actually afraid. Shyness is a fear. It's a fear others will not like you. It's a fear that others will not approve of you. They'll look at you that you're off or something. Shyness, though, is not inherent. Is inherited. Sensitivity is. Sensitivity is inherited. Shyness is a behavior as a result of sensitivity, and does not have to be so. And it's a learned behavior. It's not inherited. So if you often feel shy, though, very often this is a sense in a social situation where you feel that you failed somehow, that there's something wrong with you, or something where people will see something that they don't like in you, or that you fail to meet your standards in this situation that you're in, being here, with these people. And the more aroused you are, the more of a failure you will feel you are like. And because HSPs are more easily aroused and stimulated, they're more likely to go into this spiral. But it's not that you're born shy, you're born sensitive, and then the shyness comes later. And the way you get rid of shyness from your concept of it, to understand that your label shy is totally inaccurate. It's sensitivity to subtleties. That's how you describe the issue with you. Not that you're shy. You're sensitive to subtle stimuli. You have difficulty with over-arousal. You're overstimulated. That does not mean, by the way, when you are overstimulated in a crowd, right, it's not necessarily connected to fear. It's not like you're afraid. See, if you're afraid, then the shyness is connected to fear. But the being over-aroused is not due to fear. It's not due to fear at all. And it's very important to realize this, that very often, when you are over aroused, it's simply because it's too much stimulation. Sometimes in shyness, it goes further because you actually become afraid of rejection due to low self-esteem. So it's very important not to call yourself shy. That has a negative connotation. It's more like you're discreet, you're self-controlled, you're thoughtful, you're sensitive. And the truth is, studies show that most people on first meetings with HSPs, you consider them shy and we equate it with being anxious or awkward or fearful or inhibited or timid. And that's unfortunately how professionals, mental health professionals, rate HSPs very unjustly. They put them in a box. They put them in a box instead of just simply realizing they have a high sensitive nature. Therefore, they're prone to feel very strongly about things and it goes into their system and they need to control that. They throw in all these other negative labels at them. Anxious, awkward, fearful, inhibited, timid. But all of these are just mild or not so mild, but insignificant side factors, symptoms that have nothing to do with the issue at hand. There's a hidden prejudice behind that. And the shyness very often, some people think it's a benign term. Oh, he's just shy. But very often there's a hidden prejudice there. There's a negative connotation. You are not shy. You're an HSP who can become aroused, and therefore you need to protect yourself. But you are not shy. Very, very important to understand that. It may be simply there was too much noise around you, or you're worrying about something else, and you're even half aware of it, and it causes some tension. Or sometimes you recognize it's loud here, so it's the loudness that's causing it. You identify it, and you're fine. So when you feel social discomfort, which is, you know, Aaron Lane likes to use that instead of the word shy, social discomfort, it's usually an overarousal that makes you act this way or speak this way or appear this way. You know, that you seem less socially skilled, but it comes from this over-arousal. Or you're dreading becoming flooded. The dread itself of being flooded and over-aroused creates it even more stronger and it becomes a vicious cycle. But if you remember that the discomfort is temporary and you have choices, you know, right? If you're in a place that's cold, you can go to a warmer place. You could build a fire, turn on the thermostat and so on and so forth. You can put on a coat. But don't blame yourself for being inherently more susceptible to the cold environment. You can't blame yourself. If you don't like cold weather, you're very affected by it, and you ask for a cover and a blanket and a coat and so on, it's normal. You don't blame yourself. Same thing over here. Same thing over here. So she talks about five ways to handle over-arousal in social stimulations. Number one is, if you remember that your over-arousal is not necessarily fear. Very often it becomes fear later when you think too much about it. But it's not fear. It's not like you're afraid to be with people. But the loudness of it and the confusion of it with a lot of people there, that's what gets you nervous about it. You find other HSPs to talk to one-on-one. You know, this is one of the purposes of these type of shiurim, to connect, you know, in a healthy way, to identify with one another. Use your arousal-reducing skills, which we talked about and will continue to. Develop a good persona, I mean, a good midos, and use that. And explain this trait to other people, because a lot of it is a lack of education. So you need to understand you have a tremendous power by just simply acknowledging to yourself that, yeah, I'm an HSP, I get over-aroused, and it has nothing to do with the other people I'm around, and people want to judge me for that, so be it. But I know what I'm doing, and I'm fine. Elaine Aaron says an interesting story when she was in grad school at midlife. On the first day, the first hour she was in the breakfast room, she dropped a glass of milk all over herself and over the floor and over others. And no one bumped her. It just hit the ground and, you know, and she felt like going through the floor, and it was a shock to her. And it was an overarousal. But again, with research, she realized she was a regular HSP. That's all it was. Her body had the inability to even, you know, carry milk with a predictability. And as time went by, and she began to find more HSPs and actually help them, they all were spilling milk, so to speak. They all had these awkward situations where they felt sort of out of touch because of their sensitivity. So what are the ATSIS? We mentioned before, you take breaks, you go for a walk, you breathe deeply, you move, you exercise, you consider your options, and that's very important. They always feel something's wrong with them. That's the main nakuda with HSPs and their experience in life. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. That's their mantra very often. And we often also think, we get over-aroused because we think that it's more noticeable to other people. And you'll be surprised. They don't even see it very often. No matter how strongly you feel inside that you're flustered and overwhelmed, the other person will not see it because it's very much beneath the surface. So what you do is when you feel over-aroused and you're nervous, you focus on just simply trying to behave in your normal, predictable way. So, for example, if you're a shy student and you tend to see yourself as doing your best socially, the others may think you're not trying enough. That's a problem with the culture. But not to let it faze you, and you continue along. And then when people get to know you and you're in a crowd and you need time alone, ultimately they'll respect you for it. They'll respect you for it. So the key really is not to be embarrassed, to understand that we are also social beings and we also depend on others. But we avoid people that come in overstimulating packages, the strangers, the big parties, the crowds. And that's usually a smart strategy, you know, not to jump into these type of stimulations where you're going into that type of territory, you know. But you need to sort of see the positive aspects of it as well and look at it positively. You know, sometimes you think you avoid strangers and parties because you feel rejected or you were felt rejected and you judge harshly. And the HSPs are social beings like everyone else. And they need they need connection. And just they have to be careful with their close relationships. And extroverted HSPs exist as well. We spoke about it. If you're an introvert, though, you appreciate your introvert style. There's books on introversion. I would love to give Shiurim on introversion as well. And highly introverted women generally tend to be serious and focused, and they focus more on the problems, and they're more cautious. And they concentrate on things in a deep way. And that is the gift of an introvert. Each personality contributes to the world equally. And HSPs do too. And introverts do too. Carl Jung talked about the introvert concept. It's like, focusing inward towards yourself or towards the subject rather outward than outward towards an object. He discusses that. And then he says something very profound about introverts. So for those that are introverts, they could gain chizik from this. He says that they, the introverts, are living evidence that this rich and varied world with its overflowing and intoxicating life is not purely external, but also exists within. Their faith teaches, their life teaches more than their words. Their lives teach the other's possibility. The interior life, which is so painful, wanting in our own civilization. So painfully wanting in our own civilization. What he's saying is that there's a prejudice in our Western culture against introversion. American culture especially is an extroverted culture, not an introverted culture. And we need to learn that introverts' life teaches more than words. They say less, but they live by example. It has a tremendous impact. And we need to understand that. That prejudice on introverts, we need to take pride in it if we are one and make the best of it. And we have talents that the extroverts sometimes do not have. Talk about how introverts with their shyness have difficulty making friends. Learn later how to overcome that. Also know the normal zones of your discomfort. You don't like superficial conversations. Sometimes you have trouble remembering people's names. Sometimes you have to request things and that's awkward. You need to request things. HSP sometimes need to make a complaint about something. It's hard for them to do. So there's a lot of challenges, but we need to learn how to overcome it.